You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. 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 We're going to get into this. The title of what we're going to talk about today is something that is important for some fighters in here today. I want to talk to some people. You've been fighting for a while. You've been clawing. You've been crawling. And God is telling you that there's so much more in you than you are aware of. There's so much more in you than you are aware of. Amen. And he's been telling us this since this church has begun, that you haven't seen anything yet. And every time a new person comes and they join this church, I love to look them in the eye and tell them what God told us. You haven't seen anything yet. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not a man that he shall lie. And I want you to understand that there is nothing that God is lying about when he says you haven't seen anything yet. If you would operate being, obedient. If you stay in obedient lane and get out of the way and let God be God, you will see what he always wanted to do with you. He just couldn't because we were in the way. If you recognize how much we'd have, how far we'd be if we didn't get in the way, our thoughts, what we wanted to happen, who we wanted to be in our life, who we kept trying to fit, things we kept trying to make, and we kept trying to put God on it. And God kept saying, no, I will not be a part of that. And you kept, and then you got mad at God because you wanted it to flow in the godly, but God wouldn't do it. Same as his son when he was on the cross. God couldn't be with him at that time. We have to understand that we can't make God be where he doesn't want to be. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about today. Don't get stuck on that. Don't get stuck on that. There are some people that's under the sound of my voice, and you've been stuck on some things. You've been stuck. And I want to tell you right now, my job is to really rip up and tear up some things in a violent way today. So I'm coming for you. Who are you coming for? You. Pastor, are you talking to me? Yes. Pastor, is that about me? Yes. Pastor, how did you know? Why did you join the church? If you keep asking me, how did I know? When you wanted a pastor to hear from God. It boggles my mind all the time when after church people come to me and say, you were talking to me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How did you know that? Weren't you the one praying to God saying, Lord, I want a pastor that hears from you? And then you get one. CG, put your book down. And you get one, and now you're wondering, well, what's happening? Your prayers have been answered. You're welcome. Didn't we say we want somebody to hear from him? Didn't we say we want a pastor that can speak to me? And then when I do, there's an issue. Especially if it's something that needs to be corrected. Pastor, why are you putting me, as you say, put me out on blast? First of all, I didn't put you anywhere. You wanted God to speak to you. He did, and then you didn't like what he said. That's what we do. But we love when God says, oh, you're blessed. Hallelujah. We love it when God says, your blessing is coming. Glory to God. But when God says he needs you to step up in your obedience, see? Amen. He's so good. Amen. That's why he tells us to be ready in season and out. We have to be ready at all times. So we have to be corrected when we're slipping a little bit here. Hallelujah. All right. Love you guys. Now, don't get stuck on that. Don't get stuck on what worked before.
Don't get stuck on what worked before. So many times we continue to bring what was familiar to the unfamiliar to make us feel more comfortable. I'm going to help you out today. I'm coming for you. Our mind works in a manner that it brings data to us to make us feel comfortable. Our mind brings data, and then we compare. Even though I tell you all the time, it is very unhealthy to compare people because you're doing an injustice to both parties. What do we do when we left a previous church? We're immediately judging our previous church to the one we're in right now. We're looking at everything and we're recording to see, okay, I like that about that one. I don't like this about this one. Oh, I do like this about that one. Oh, this is different than that one. And we're constantly comparing and instead of letting things and people just be different. If you just let them be different, one isn't better than the other. It's just what's appropriate for you. You understand what I'm saying? If you left someplace, and this is what I tell all of our new members, number one of the rules here, don't talk about your old church. Don't want to hear it. Don't tell me anything bad about them. Pray for them. Hallelujah. And when you leave here, same thing. Just pray for us. Amen. It's what works for you. However, we have to find out what works for us and not leave because we don't like it. Because sometimes what we don't like is what we need. Amen. Ushers, just keep an eye on CG, okay? She may pass out. If she does, okay, it's okay. It's just fan her a little bit, give her a breeze. She'll pop back up. Amen. All right. So I need us to understand. Don't get stuck. See, some of us are stuck in some things, and we're still in winter. We're still covered up too much. We're still with the natural parka. What does it mean? See, it's the temperature has changed. It's not warm enough yet for the t-shirt. Okay, yet. But it's not cold enough that you need the parka coat. But if we're stuck in winter, we're still covered with things that we don't need anymore. And sometimes we come into a new season all wrapped up trying to protect ourselves from things that you no longer need to be protected for. If I could get you to understand, number one, stop being stuck, and two, stop being scared. Oh, the extension cords are out. Those that haven't been with me long enough knows when I tell that, that means I can feel God plugging me into people. And when the extension cords come out, it's more than just a couple. Oh, yeah. Don't get stuck and don't be scared. You're still stuck in an area because you're afraid of getting hurt again. You're afraid of being free again. You're afraid of being loose again. You're afraid of the walls coming down. You're afraid of that V word. You're afraid to be vulnerable. You're afraid of being vulnerable because, remember, you go back to the data. When I was vulnerable before, that thing happened. And I swore I would never, ever let that happen to me again. So if your guard is up, how can you say you trust God to be your protector if you're covering yourself? If we're saying, I'll never let it happen, that means I'm guarded. I have to be on call and on guard at all times to make sure it doesn't happen. But what happens if I would say I trust God that he won't let it happen again? Therefore, I don't have to be on guard all the time if I've truly given it to God. And why am I worried about something if I truly gave it to him? It's interesting to me that we keep mentioning things that we said we gave to God. If I really gave it to him, how do I have it right now? There was a little game, you know, or a thing we did when we were kids. We said, no take backs. Once you gave it, There's no take backs. You don't get it back. So why do we do the take backs with God? Because we feel as though we can't trust him or he's not doing it fast enough for us. Don't get stuck on what worked for you or let's flip it, or what didn't work for you. I'm not going to do this because it didn't work before. Okay, maybe you were out of season. Maybe it was something you were supposed to do, but not in that season. And as I tell us all the time, sometimes God will tell you to do something and you're doing it before it's time. Oh, you can sit in the front row anytime. Okay, you're doing good. See, there is a thing, my front row theology members up here recognizes at the appointed time. See, the thing is, what we do is we take, God says, you're going to have that good. I'm working on it right now. Who said, did he say now or did he just say? We start working on something, get it done, telling everybody what we're about to do. And we're not even ready for what God said we're going to do. We're not mentally ready. We're not spiritually ready. We still want to argue with everybody and fight with everybody. We still got anger issues, forgiveness issues. How are you going to be the leader God told you to be until you become the person he needs you to be with that thing, so that that thing can not only be blessed but prosper? It's nothing worse than to have a stillborn promise of God. What are you going to do with it? You birth something that's not ready to come out. And how many times have we pushed out something that God wasn't ready for us to push out? He put it in us, but it wasn't time. And I need you to understand, don't get stuck on what didn't work. And don't get stuck on what did work or how you did it and say, that's the way I'm going to do everything. It just didn't work. Let it go. This is a new season. Let it go. This is a new word. Let it go. This is a new environment. Let it go. This is new soil. Let it grow. Sometimes, and we know the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a season for everything and there's a time. And I say all the time, one of the things I really like the way it's written when it says there's a time for things to be plucked up. I always say when something is to be plucked up, it's violent. To be plucked up means that you're rooted is ground. Your roots are ground in that thing, is grown in that thing. And when you have to pull it up, think about it as you got to rip that thing up. You can't just pinch it and pull it up. You got to get your hands in there and you understand, get your hips ready and pull that thing. And there's some things that God has to pull us from that we were rooted and grounded in. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when you're rooted and grounded in things, it's going to be a process for that thing to be uprooted from that and put into something else and for it to begin to grow in a new environment. But at first, it has to be placed in a new environment. It has to be positioned in a new environment. It has to be settled in a new environment. It has to be fed properly according to the way it needs to be fed, and then it will begin to grow. And then as it begins to grow, then it will begin to spread. Do you know how many steps I just told you, all from uprooting? And so sometimes we have been uprooted from something and we're expecting from all of those things, those processes, to be skipped. That's not natural. That's not natural evolution. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't get stuck on what worked. Don't get stuck on what didn't work. Walk and operate in the new and what will be. I said walk and operate in the new and what will be, not was. Every time we talk about was, compare the was, we stop the will be. Every time we're talking about what we did, we're not focusing on what we're supposed to be doing right now. Every time we focus on how we did it, we're not putting the focus on what we're supposed to do now. Don't get stuck on that. Find a neighbor that looks like they may like you and tell them, don't get stuck on that. Now you got to look at them in the eyes. We haven't seen each other's face in a year. Don't get stuck on how it didn't work. Don't get stuck on how you messed up. Don't get stuck on the mistakes you made. Focus on the correction. Don't get stuck on how you messed up. So what? Own it. And prepare yourself
to be better.
I said, own it. Don't deny it, and don't get mad when it's brought up. Own it, because when you own it, you bless God.
Hallelujah. You bless God, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Can we go to the book of Jeremiah? Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. I like that. Because sometimes you have to understand, sometimes God wants you to be in a position that you can't move before he speaks unto you. Sometimes you wonder, you feel limited in what you can do. I'll use another word, trapped. And sometimes you feel, or let's use a more conservative word, sometimes you seem, no, I won't use that word. Forget it. Sometimes God wants you to be in a position that you can't move as freely as you would like to, and you feel limited in things, and that's where God will give you what you need as the word for you. Sometimes, hear me, breakthrough, sometimes it's not the action. You're thinking about what do I need to do, and it's not what you need to do, is what you need to get, and what you need to get is the word of God. What you need to do is the word of God. But you have to find what is the word of God. And when you've gotten the word of God, like what God has been doing the last couple of weeks and just tearing up the altar up here and all this stuff, it doesn't matter what word comes forth if you don't do that word. That word turns into action, turns into blessing. But if you don't do the word, if you don't do the word, if you don't do the word, it's no coincidence to me that things are, I'm going to say a person's name, Stacy. It's no coincidence what God is doing in her life when I see that she's posting on band things, a word that God has used me to say in this church. And she wrote it in her notebook, put it in band and said, this is the thing that God said for us to do. And if we do this, we line up with those blessings. And when you line up to the blessings of God, you are automatically, by default, blessed, because you are doing what the blessed one told you to do, to be blessed and stay blessed. Hallelujah. Everything from the outside will reflect what's going on the inside. You'll be able to find out how good somebody is on an outside by what's going on the inside. But are they receiving the word of God? We need the word of God, not the emotions of man. Hallelujah. This is your year of maturity. This is your year of maturity. This means you have to step it up. Hallelujah. It says, he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. He formed you. He established you. The Lord is his name. He established you. He formed you. The Lord is his name. If you will recognize that you are a marvelous creature, if you will recognize that you are more than a conqueror, if you will recognize that the mistakes you made aren't you, if you will recognize that the things that you did wrong is not you, if you would ever recognize that you are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, if you would recognize that he loves you so much as only, but so much he's going to let you do, if you would recognize that he loves you so much, he's only going to let you do but so much, and then he's going to stop the show. If you would recognize you thought you were damaged, but he would only let you get hurt but so much, and you thought there were more to come. But we have to understand, don't get stuck on that. What is that? What is that thing that keeps entering your mind? What is that thing that keeps entering into your heart? What is that thing that keeps lying unto you? What is that thing that keeps coming to you, no matter when you're in a good season and a bad season? What is that thing that keeps trying to distract you from the promises and the word of God? What is that thing that keeps deterring you to getting to the place that you have been called to be? What is that thing? That thing is what you need to focus on and to rebuke and to speak to that thing and tell that thing to be removed. Hallelujah. I really believe that in this quarter is ending. I really believe God is moving us past, because for 3 months he keeps bringing it back and forth about people and how people are messing you up and you keep letting people do these things. I think God is ready to move on because he's planted it in us for 3 months. If you're not ready to do what God told you to do, you're just not ready to get what God has promised you to have. Amen. Verse number three, call unto me and I will what? He says, call unto what? What are we doing? We're not calling unto God. We're calling unto our friends. We're calling on to neighbors. We're calling unto the people that we have deemed to be the closest to us. But God says, call unto me and I will answer. I want to ask you a question. Are you calling unto him when you have answers? Hallelujah. When you have questions, are you calling unto God? Is he your source? Hallelujah. And we've taken the scripture out of context under a multitude of counselors. There is safety. We've taken it out of context. You can't have 50 counselors. You got 50 people telling you 50 different ways to do something. Call unto him and he will answer. Who is your God? Who is the one you've given your life to? If you shouted out, my God, who would answer? If you shouted out, my God, would your best friend turn around? Because your best friend is the one to know everything about you when you don't talk to God anymore. Hallelujah. Who thinks they are your God? Who thinks they can tell you what to do? Who think that they have the input and the power over your life? Hallelujah. Don't get stuck on that. It says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which, here we go. Oh, you better say it. That you knoweth, say it again. Not. You don't even know the things he's going to show you. And that's the problem with our flesh. We think we know everything, but we only know what we've seen. And he's saying there are things that I want to show you that you've never seen and you don't know. There are things I want to put in your mind that's not there yet. There are things I want to put in your heart that you haven't felt yet. There are places I want to take you that your feet has never walked. Don't get stuck on this is where I'm from and this is how we do it. Don't get stuck on that. God wants to take you to the unfamiliar, but you're so focused on feeling comfortable that you keep bringing people along. Come on, Lot. We keep ruining what God wants to do for us because we want to be comfortable. God doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants you to be blessed. Wife and I moved over here, bought our house in East Lake. What month was that? January. We're still learning the area. Well, at least I am. There's still things. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Me and Tiff was riding down Vine Street yesterday, and she said, oh, look, there's a Rally's. Listen, she was driving. And I shouted in the car. I love me a good Rally's burger with Rally's fries, okay? Listen, I'm pretty much the only one in my family now that's not a vegan, okay? Listen, I still like a good burger, okay? And some grease with my fries, okay?
Listen, we're dying in our family, okay, with that. It's just me left. We're dying out, us meat lovers and grease lovers, okay? Listen, no disrespect to the vegans. I'm not saying anything, okay? Amen. But when I saw rallies, I saw Jesus. When I saw Jesus, I said, Jesus loved me. Yes, I know. I said, and it's right around from where I live. It's a little thing. Listen, don't tell me how to shout and what I need to shout about, okay? That was for me. He loves me. That was because of my faithfulness. I don't care what you say. Hallelujah. That was my obedience. And he said, I'm going to reward you, Pastor Bobby. Here's a rally just for you. I said, thank you, Jesus. I love you so much. He said, I love you too, son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, call on me and I will answer. Father, can you bring a rally to East Lake? Yes, son, I will. Yes, I know it was there before I moved here, but don't ruin it for me. Hallelujah. Call unto me and I will answer thee and I will show thee great. He says, great and mighty. Are you looking at the board? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, I'm going to show you some great things. He wants to show you. He said, this year, what did he say about this year? He said, for our church breakthrough, this is going to be the what? The best and the what? Biggest. He said, the best and the biggest. If you are a member here, that's a promise for you. Put it on the board. God has never lied to us. He put it on the board. Mark it. Chart it. This is nothing. This is just a building. This is nothing. This is nothing. Don't get stuck on that. Don't get stuck. Don't ever say again, look at where we're at. We're nowhere. It's just a building. It's just a building. Yes, this building is better than the other one, but remember I said I don't compare. Because if I compared, I look down on where we were blessed at that other place. So what, it didn't look as good as this and have the things don't matter. Lives were changed in that church. Lives were changed. Marriages took place in there. Unions took place in that building. It's not about a place. God keeps saying, you haven't seen nothing yet. Listen, we're not about that in this church. Amen. We could be outside in an empty parking lot. And as long as Jesus is there, we're good. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Yes, it is a benefit that we do have a parking lot. We don't have to worry about all the broken glass in there from the club that was there and all the broken bottles. That is a benefit. Amen. And I do appreciate that. Amen. In verse number 4, it says, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mount and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Don't you get stuck on what was previously done or how something transpired before. Don't get stuck on if God hid his face from you before. You could have been in some things that God couldn't be a part of you at that time because of the decisions that you made. But he always wants to come back to cure you. He always wants to come back to make you whole. He always wants to come back to restore you. He always wants to come back to bring you to your rightful position to walk with him. Are you understanding? Just because if he hid his face because he couldn't partake in what you were doing. It was not that he didn't love you. It was not that he didn't want you blessed. It's that he couldn't be a part of what you were doing and put his name tag on that thing. If it is defective, have you ever known about clothes? If there's defective, they can't be sold like everything else. They have to be labeled defective. God can't put his tag on something defective that is defective purposely. Did you get what I just said? Purposely defective. I mean, I did the thing to get the thing. And now I want God's tag on it. It won't happen. When I've purposely done what I knew wouldn't please God, I He can't purposely put his tag on something that was purposely made defective.
That'll preach right there. I need you to understand. God wants you to know today is that
this is a new time, a new day. This day is not yesterday. This day, get out of tomorrow. Get out of yesterday. This day, don't get stuck on last weekend. Don't get stuck on, oh my God, I got to get ready for this week. Don't get stuck on that. Get your mind prepared to let God be everything in your life, to show you things, to introduce you to people, to take you in areas that you were afraid to go. Let him make you the owner of things you didn't know you were qualified to own.
Hallelujah.
Let him make you the owner of things that before you didn't believe you were qualified to own.
Hallelujah. Jesus, I am about to throw the mic. I apologize for anybody in the front row. It takes a little licking, but you can keep on taking. That was an old school commercial. Got to be over 40 to really understand that. Amen. Yeah. Marketing was so much better back in the day. All right. I want you to understand how it worked before has nothing to do with how it's working today. Relationships you had has nothing to do with the relationships God wants you to have. Just say the words, it didn't work, and move on. Just say it ended and move on. As we go with the beginning, let's get out of the specifics of why. Hallelujah. Get out of that. Get into the new. Embrace the new. Hallelujah. 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 Tell yourself, I won't be stuck in that area anymore. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. You know what area that you're talking about. Tell yourself. Free yourself from, I won't be stuck in that anymore. You know who you are. The stubbornness, I won't be stuck in that anymore. The judgmentalness, I won't be stuck in that. Being a walking carpet for everybody, I won't be stuck in that. I won't be a crybaby anymore, letting everybody just hurt my feelings anymore. I'm going to stop caring about what they think. Here are three disciples named En Vogue. And they said, free your mind and the rest will follow. I had to urbanize it a little bit. Hallelujah. But in all seriousness, I want to be able to help you today free yourself from things. There was a minister of the gospel named Tina Turner. And she said, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. And I say that in all of my joking, but I'm being serious. Sometimes we allow ourselves to get hurt because we love them. But I know in the scripture that when Jesus was with the familiar, and people kept trying to tell him who was in the room, he wasn't looking at them. He was looking at those that gave their life and understood who he was. He wasn't looking at the ones that he used to be with. He was looking for the ones that recognized who he was and where they wanted to go with him. We can't continue to allow love to keep us locked and chained to things that God wants us freed from. Hallelujah. And one of the hardest things we can do is, the Bible says, owe no man nothing but love. And I love you enough to walk away, but keep praying for you while I'm gone. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you must stay with those that you are related to. Because even Jesus said that he couldn't be received in his own country, his own land, he wasn't received in.
So stop for the last time. Stop trying to let somebody see you in the way you want them to see you, and begin to embrace those that see you as God wants you to be seen. Are we getting that? In the three words, let it go with those who have chosen that they won't see you anything higher than what they want to see you. Amen. Stop thinking that you have to do something in order to deserve something good from God. I want to help you. You'll never do anything to deserve the grace of God. It doesn't matter how much Bible scriptures you know. It doesn't matter if you have perfect attendance in church. Stop thinking about your past and letting it come into your present. I want to free you up today. And I want to say this. If it is your past, it must be over. I need you to get what I'm saying. I'm not screaming, I'm not yelling, I'm not loud. I'm lowering my voice, I'm loud anyway. If it is your past, it's over. Because past means no longer current. If it's still in your mind, if they're still in your mind, if you're still bringing that thing up, it's no longer your past. You've now made that thing your current. We have to understand why God told Lot to leave and to not look back, because it slows us up from where he wants us to go. Don't get stuck on that anymore. Are you getting that? All right, go to Proverbs 18. We're about to get out of here real soon. Proverbs 18. It's important that you know this scripture. I say it all the time, but it's important that you know this. Proverbs 18:21, I say it all the time. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I want to tell you something. You have the ability to get what God wants you to have if you speak it and walk it. It's just that simple. You have the ability to get what God has for you if you speak it and you walk it. If you walk in the ways of God and you walk in the attributes of God, you'll get what God wants you to have. But in order to do that, you have to walk away from the things that you previously walked in. Are you getting that? And we have to walk away from some things that we previously enjoyed. And you have to recognize and be truthful and transparent with yourself to say, I enjoyed it, but that is no longer beneficial from where I need to be. I want to help you as your pastor. There were conversations that you had with people. There were jokes that you used to be able to tell and laugh at. I can't be a part of that joke anymore. I can't have that conversation. One thing about this church, you know, we don't have church rules. I mean, what is that? That's a club, not a church. And in that, I don't tell you what to watch. I don't tell you what movies you should watch. I mean, listen, you got your own free will. You do what you want to do. I know when you come over to my house and visit, I tell you what some things that you won't be seeing on my TV. I tell you that. The point is, there are point in times in your life that what you started out doing was acceptable for you. But the more you got in Christ, things begin to change. Oh, am I talking to anybody? Things that you used to enjoy, you don't enjoy them. Shows you used to watch, all of a sudden you're like, what's happening to me? Why don't I enjoy this anymore? Why is that bothering me? People you used to talk to, jokes that was funny, now it's offensive. People that was your favorite people, now you avoid them when you see them in Walmart. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. You can, if you want it, speak it. But act on what you're saying. Don't be double-minded, because we understand a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Speak it, walk it, see it. It's just that simple. That is the secret recipe to being blessed by God. Speak it, walk it, get it. But be consistent in that thing. And don't continue to be stuck in areas that you didn't realize you were stuck in before. Don't get stuck in judgment. Let it go. Let them go. Forgive them. Yeah, it got quiet there. Why do we have a problem forgiving people? But we want God to forgive us. As a pastor, that's one of the questions I still have. Why is flesh? Why? Because the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. And the flesh, again, doesn't want to agree with anything godly, and we stay angry. How can we walk in the forgiveness of God so the enemy can trap us? And as long as we stay mad, we can no longer be blessed. And the enemy knows if I can just keep them mad, they'll never get what God wants them to have. So they can come to church all they want, just come to church mad. Forgive them. Christ always said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't know. And even if it was their intention, they didn't really know who they were doing it to. Even if it was their plan to destroy you, they didn't know who, they really didn't know who they were trying to destroy. They didn't really know how anointed you are. They didn't know how amazing you are. They didn't know, they didn't really know you were that child of God. See, they heard you were a child of God, but they didn't know you were that one. You are an heir to the throne. You are adopted in. I hope you know that. But I think some of us don't know that, so we don't act like it. So if they're not treating us that way, we need to treat ourselves like royalty. Where is your crown that you bought yourself? Are you understanding what I'm saying? If we are a royal, if we are, which God said it as I get ready to close, we're a royal priesthood. We're adopted in. We have to recognize who we are. And if others won't hold that standard, then we have to hold them accountable. As the Bible says, mark them and avoid them, even if we're related to them. And wipe the dust off of our feet. And continue to be the head and not the tail. Ooh, Jesus. Does anybody here, I got 3.5 minutes. Does anybody here know how blessed you really are? Oh, I don't believe you. Oh, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Because still, you wouldn't have that stank frown on your face. You'd have a smile on your face if you recognize how blessed you are. Because even I can't see your face, but your mask would move if you were smiling. Then don't get stuck on that. Don't get stuck on what you used to be. Don't get stuck on how you used to be treated. Don't get stuck on what people did. Don't worry about what they did. Focus on the people that you've allowed God to bring into your life now and that they are able to see you. And I know that makes you uncomfortable because you're not used to people seeing you the way they see you. You're like, why are you smiling at me? You don't know me. Let me tell you the truth. Yes, they do. Because God has shown you to them. You don't have to prove anything to this group. Some of you have said, you know, breakthrough. I feel at ease. And, oh, my God, I just love it. Well, you should. Because that's what we built. We said, Lord, we need a place that the broken could come. With the intention of them not staying that way. Oh. We want to build a place that they could come and feel comfortable being broken and seeing healed people, seeing hope. But knowing they're broken, but people not treating them as though they're broken. Recognizing the brokenness, but not treating them as broken. Are you getting what I'm saying? To hug you when you're not used to being hugged, to say, get used to this. to look you in the eye and say, we're glad you're here. Hallelujah. To love you past your expectation of love, because your expectation was limited based on how you were loved. To say, why are they speaking to me? Because they see you. And they acknowledge you. And they're glad that you're there. And by the way, they don't want anything from you. Hallelujah. And when they ask you, are you good? They're not asking you that, because the next question is, can you loan them $20? They generally want to know, are you good? Amen. Don't get stuck on what didn't work, how it didn't work. Let's go real fast, and then we're out of here. Go to Mark chapter 5. Go to Mark chapter 5, then we'll get out of here. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read a passage that we're all familiar with. Mark 5, 25, and I'm going to talk real quick about the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5, 25, it says, and there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. You know, when we talk about the woman with the issue of blood, we really don't talk about how long she dealt with that. And it just wasn't internal, but it was external. This woman bled from her body part for 12 years. This woman spent all of her money on all of the physicians, the highest physicians, to get this thing rectified. And no one could make her whole. Now, you imagine dealing with something for 12 days. Now imagine dealing with something for 12 months. Now imagining that you are now selective in where you go, because you don't want people seeing you in that state. Now imagine, now you have secluded yourself, that you really don't come out anymore, because guess what? You've tried in your mind every way and nothing worked. And what happens when you've talked to the so-called the best and they had nothing for you? They couldn't do anything. And then they told you there's something that you're going to have to deal with and live with for the rest of your life. That's this woman with the issue of blood. 12 years bleeding. 12 years bleeding. 12 years bleeding. So it says, 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. I've just explained all of that to you. And was nothing better. Meaning it didn't get better, but rather things grew worse. But when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, she touched his garment. Now imagine, she heard about this Jesus that was a game changer. She heard about this Jesus that was a life changer. She heard stories about people that he changed their life, and she's seen them differently than how she saw them before their encounter with Jesus. Now think about some of us for a moment, that when we were in the world doing our worldly things and we heard about people and we saw people that we used to be with and used to club with and used to do this with, and then all of a sudden they had an encounter with Jesus and now they're gone. Now they don't want to talk to us anymore. She saw the change of those people, and eventually she said, well, you know what? I heard Jesus is coming around my city. Have you ever gone to church one Sunday and said, I need to know about that Jesus? Have you ever had an encounter to say, I've heard enough about that Jesus. Listen, I need to find out if he's real for me. I heard of what he can do. I need to know if he is who they said he is. 27, and when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but the clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dry. Did you get that? What did you get what the writer just said? He says, Jesus the Christ. He says, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, ooh, Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Imagine walking with thousands of people around you and you stop to say, everybody was touching him. Everybody was reaching out. Hey, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Your disciples are all acting like bodyguards. You know Peter was punching people in the gut because Peter was a wild one. Get off of him. Peter was a wild one. You know, and you know Jesus had to watch Peter to make sure, you know, yeah, no lawsuits. And he stopped to say, wait a minute, who touched my clothes? You know, the disciples like, what are you talking about? Who touched your clothes? They all touched your clothes. But he recognized somebody pulled something from him. They pulled on his virtue. See what happened when you had a moment when Jesus, and you said, Jesus, this time I need you to come into my heart. Jesus, this time I need you to come into my life. Jesus, I need you to become my Lord and my Savior. And he said, oh, Jesus, who just called on me like that? Because it wasn't the normal, Jesus, get me out of a bind. It wasn't normal. It wasn't the normal, Jesus, my funds are low. Jesus, I need a blessing. It wasn't that normal prayer, Jesus, I got myself in a little trouble. Can you be my genie and get me out? This was a Jesus, take me as I am and come into my life. And he said, oh, my God, somebody just touched my clothes. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest multitude thee and saying, who touched me? Now, you know, his disciples, I tell you, those disciples were something else. They had a little attitude with them. Like, you see all these people, how are you going to ask us who touched you? We don't know. 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Imagine if she would have been stuck on what didn't work. If anybody had a right to say she couldn't be healed, was her. 12 years of going through the same thing. 12 years of everybody looking at her, giving her diagnosis. But she said, I'm going to give it to Jesus. And I'm not going to be stuck on what didn't work before. She said, I'm going to give it to Jesus. My question to you, are you going to give it to Jesus? My question to you, are you going to give this time? Are you going to give it to him this time? I know what didn't work. I know how you've tried before. But are you really going to give it to him without a bungee cord and you pulling it back from him? Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood, when it is your time, it's your time. But I want to tell you, when is your time? It's your time. But you got to claim your moment. You got to claim your moment. She claimed her moment. She shot her shot. She said, this Jesus coming, I heard this, listen. She claimed her moment. Are you going to stay stuck in that thing, or are you going to claim your moment this time? Are you going to say, listen, I know I halfly said I want Jesus before, but this time I want to find out for myself. I know I've seen other people loving on him and seeing the results, but I want to know for myself.
I want to be able to talk to you and let you know Jesus is just as real for you as he is for them if you would seek him like she did. You know, it's interesting. People talk about they don't like church because many different reasons. And we can all have our reason of why we decide not to do something. But what if you didn't like anything in that church but what was said to you? Would you go and deal with all the things you don't like to get what you need? Let me up the ante. What if you don't like the personalities in the place that you go, but you like what is being said unto you? Would you go? You would begin to filter out and say, no, I think you become more like the rich young ruler and say, no, sorry. What happens if everything in the place you go to is not particular, it's not to your particular liking, but what's being spoken to you is being spoken right directly to your spirit? Would you go there? That's what the woman of with the issue of blood did. She went through people that she knew was going to judge her. People was going to talk. She was with people. She crawled past people that was in a waiting room in the hospital facilities who knew her story. Said, there she go again, dragging all of that blood. Who she thinks she is? Who's going to clean that up? She crawled through all that judgment to get to the one, and she claimed her moment. Can you unstick or get yourself unstuck? Yes, but you have to pull yourself out of it and claim your moment like the woman with the issue of blood.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.